What's the one thing all great teams have in common?
Great coaching.
Try to suck up to me, Andrew.
Hey! Goldberg! I bet if that talk was a cheeseburger, you stop it!
No, I agree. I would not be an acid physically. I have more of a podcast body.
Quack! 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 Quack!
It's the Quack Attack Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Remember, strength, not concentration. I'm Mike. That's Tommy.
Hello, everyone.
That's Kevin.
Hey, yo.
Welcome to the Quack Attack Podcast, the definitive Mighty Ducks podcast. We are back. We are all together again. Lots of stuff is happening. We're gonna kick it off with some, you know, discussion. We will move to a Mighty Ducks Minute. We got some good feedback on the previous Mighty Ducks Minute and said, hey, you should do these more often. And you know what? I agree. So we're going to do another minute, special minute, minute 100. But before we do that, Mighty Ducks Game Changers, we have not talked about it being removed from Disney Plus. It is officially gone. I do not know at the current moment where you can find it other than, you know, probably some shady pirating sites. But I guess just your reaction, Kevin, to it leaving, and you know, what do you think this really does? Will we remember it at all in like, you know, 2-3 years?
Yeah, I think that's the interesting kind of concept about this is does it just get forgotten? Does it get removed from the canon, so to speak? I think it's obviously I think it's sad that it's going away, and I think there are a lot of sad things happening in the streaming world right now with different platforms and this kind of happening to a bunch of different, you know, very worthy shows and movies. So obviously it's sad. I'm curious to see if there's any sort of other platform. I don't really know how that works, but if any other platform snatches it up or anything like that. But sad day.
Yeah, like I think the biggest loser out of the whole thing is Coach D. I feel like he was the one thing I thought would have had like a bigger, maybe a legacy and jokes and memes, and now he's sort of washed away. But who knows? The I think the idea is that they follow the Max. It's not HBO Max. It's just the Max model where they licensed like Westworld to Tubi and Roku and all that kind of stuff. So I think that is the play there. But Tommy, anything else on this or your reaction, you know, when you saw it actually leave the platform?
You know, it's interesting because it's kind of like the dawn of a new era where, like, you know, I've had a Netflix, I no longer have a Netflix subscription. I canceled it last year, but it's like original programming leaving a streaming platform. And it used to be like, oh, yeah, we're not renewing the license for this show or whatever, so you got to watch it now. And it was just like, okay, whatever. And it's like, you know, for the longest time, if you wanted to watch something, you could find it, even if you just renting it for $4 or something. And now it's like you cannot watch the Game Changers legally anywhere. Like Mike said, it could go to Tubi or something, which I downloaded the other day. And I watched The Green Knight on it, and yeah. It was good. But anywho, we'll pitch our Green Knight podcast later.
Do you think they're gonna show up on like iTunes or like for you to purchase? Seems like that would be an easy way to make money. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
I
just throw it on there and like you can make like a couple of bucks, like literally $2, I think. I just looked on Amazon to see if there was like a DVD box set of season one, didn't see anything. And but yeah, I think it's like, you know, are we gonna go back to the, you know, the early 2000s where it's like, if you can't rent it or buy it, you're not watching something, you know, and same thing with like early 2000s and beyond. And so if you're just like, oh, I never saw, you know, this movie and like my Blockbuster never has it, I guess I'm never watching it, kind of thing. So, and it's like, who knows? And that's why I am going to do my best to go to the movies more often so I can actually see these things, since I haven't like, I have no pop culture reference anymore other than what's streaming.
Makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. You would figure, yeah, Amazon, they throw it on Amazon where you can rent it or whatever, or Prime Video, but I don't know how the licensing and all the deals work. I don't know if Amazon even wants it. They have their own original programming, and, you know, Apple has Apple TV. So Yeah, it's an interesting place about where this will go. I think it eventually just sort of disappears, and it, like, you know, was a thing and it goes away, and, you know, maybe whether it's Emilio's project or something else, maybe it comes back a different day. But sort of speaking of that, if you're listening to this on the day it comes out or near the day it comes out, I will point you to ESPN at 11 a.m. on Sunday, or ESPN Plus afterwards. There's a, they call it a documentary in the press release, which I was like, okay, well done. Well done. On ESPN, Once Upon a Time in Anaheim, it sort of follows the movie turning into the franchise and then, you know, culminating kind of in this sort of fairy tale run in 2003, which I was 13 years old for. I remember quite well. And I guess we have not seen it yet. We're trying to get some people involved on the pod, but I guess it sort of interplays that 2003 run with what actually happened in the regular Mighty Ducks. So I think it's worth checking out. I've just seen the trailer. The trailer seems good. I'll put it in the show notes. But let's move on. Unless you have anything else we want to touch on that, either of you.
I'm looking forward to the to the documentary, like the real documentary. I know we like to have fun here, but I'm interested to see like what kind of like pop culture references they say, like if like, oh, it's, you know, it spawned like a Game Changer series or things like that. If they're like, hey, you know, maybe don't mention Game Changers. But also it's like, it kind of shows like, look, Mighty Ducks just stays in like the, you know, collective consciousness, you know, because, you know, millennials like us now have are the ones who are essentially like the up and comers, are becoming producers, right, and directors and things like that. And these influential, you know, 90s movies are going to be brought back and things like that. And it's going to, you know, remain like Mighty Ducks is always, I think, going to be around in some form or fashion. And so, again, we're going to keep pushing for a D4. Things like this, you know, maybe the doc does really well. ESPN's like, well, maybe we could do have this like a full length feature movie. Steve Brill, here's 300 grand. Give us something.
I was going to say, I'm looking forward to the day that ESPN Plus / Disney removes the documentary from their streaming platform.
Wow. Yeah.
Very well done, Kevin. I appreciate that. Well, that was good.
Yeah. It was interesting. So they have Steve Brill and Jordan Kerner, who is the producer on, and then they have Marguerite Moreau and Sean Weiss were the like two Mighty Ducks cast members. So I'm interested to see like why those two, if they talk to anybody else and just use those two, that kind of stuff. But we'll know more probably next week. But
hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's move on to the topic at hand here, because Kevin has a hard out. So we're going to try to get this done maybe a little early. So, as I mentioned, Mighty Ducks Minute, randomly generated. We have to remove all the Game Changers minutes, at least temporarily, because I don't know where to find them. And I was not planning on it leaving the platform. So, yeah, maybe I'll work some connections and get some copies just for the minutes. But in the meantime, we have 315 minutes. We've done, I don't know, a handful of them, a couple handfuls of them. Randomly generated Mighty Ducks Minute 100. So this was a minute, 1 hour and 39 minutes to 1 hour and 40 minutes of the first movie. This is near the very end of the movie. It's the second to last actual minute of the movie, not including credits. And we have Gordon Bombay at the bus stop talking to the kids. So let's take a listen right now.
Just remember, keep your head up, man. Cake eater.
Remember strength, not concentration.
Right.
And for God's sakes, soft hands.
Right. Anything else?
Yeah.
Have fun up there, Coach.
I must be crazy to try out with the minors. I'm gonna be going up against kids half my age.
Just have a good tryout, Gordon. One step at a time.
Yeah, you're right.
All right. Just initial reactions on the minute, Tommy.
The initial reaction is the outfits, you know, seeing like, I mean, we've talked about this so many times, but this is like the definitive, you know, this in the classroom scene. It's like, here, you want to see how, you know, kids dressed in the 90s, or at least what, you know, maybe a bunch of 30-year-olds thought kids dressed like in the 90s. It's like, they're all wearing three layers at least. Now they're in Minnesota. They'll have a lot of flannel, you know, a lot of hoodies. Adam Banks has three collared shirts on, which is great. And like, it's like every other kid has a hat.
Was it Marguerite Moreau that had like a giant bow?
She might. It's kind of like at least half of them have like headgear. It's like you got Karp with his Russian hat, you know, Goldberg with his Eagles hat, Fulton the bandana. Tammy's got a hairband. And so it does like represent their style, which is very good. Margaret Bruno, no, she just has like a scarf around her neck. And then of course the big red hat by Casey Conway, kind of like I'm trying to think. I've never seen the movie, but I guess like Robin Williams and Toys has a big red hat. And so it's like all these hats are very distracting. And so that's like the first thing that jumps out to me is just the fashion. And it's great. And it's like, you know, you could argue that, you know, did we get much of that in Game Changers? Like, did the kids have like their own style kind of thing? And, you know, maybe we talk about that at a later episode. But I don't know. I had to watch Game Changers again and I can't right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I have some thoughts, but Kevin, your initial reaction.
I'm just going back and kind of skimming through it real quick, but it's this minute started perfectly in a scene cut, which is great. It was like the championship and then this right before that. So kudos to the editors there for anticipating the Mighty Ducks minute. but I thought it was interesting that none of the girls, aside from Casey Conway, got a speaking part. I thought that was a little strange. Terry Hall's just like dumb face in the back was funny. He was just kind of like, I don't know, he looked like he was like lost. But yeah, I thought it was a, you know, it's a nice scene. It's a nice heartwarming scene. The clothes, as Tommy mentioned, were great. It does come across as a little awkward though. Like it feels like a little rigid. It didn't flow all that well, but yeah, it's a heartwarming scene.
So, yeah, it's interesting. That's... You mentioned like the speaking parts, and like Goldberg, he gets to like give him a fist bump or whatever, and he doesn't have a speaking part. And you'd think like Goldberg is the one who'd like give him like a one liner, but maybe it's he's so overcome with emotion. So I was trying to look, is Sean Weiss trying to cry in the scene at all? And I don't know, maybe they're just like, Sean Weiss, you've got all the good lines in this fucking movie. Like, give someone else a chance.
Yeah.
I also just very quickly, the way that they shot where he's shaking Peter Mark's hand, it makes Peter Mark look tiny, like the size of an ant. I mean, yeah, I know he's small, but like it's I don't know, it just accentuates that. It's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think Peter Mark was like slightly before the actual minute started, but we can include him. And yeah, so he goes from Peter Mark, and then he goes Banks, and then Goldberg, or no, he's Jesse. He goes Peter Mark, Jesse, Banks, Goldberg, Fulton, Averman, and then he gives Charlie the hug, and then he has the whole little deal with Casey Conway before, you know, it sort of ends with him going up the steps to the bus here. And yeah, the clothes definitely got me. I also, it just seemed like everyone was miserable in the scene. Like the wind was blowing. It looked very cold. So yeah, Bombay's hair is going crazy. So that was my biggest takeaway. But yeah, I guess it is sort of a nice little scene where he wraps up everything, but I weirdly was way more focused on the external stuff in this scene when usually, yeah, it's a little more related to the story, but I guess there's just a lot happening there. So
I definitely noticed like the hair, like Emilio Estevez's hair. It's like, what was the hairspray budget for this scene alone with it like waving and you got to keep spraying it. And again, the choices to be like, which ducks aren't going to have their hats on, you know? And then the Bombay gives Casey, you know, the big kiss or whatever. And
that part is a little insane. Like that, we didn't have any of that aside from like the date that they went on where Casey Conway just like totally shuts him down. And then, so that's the first time he kisses her? Like, what the hell?
It's like all the kids are like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And Charlie's surprisingly cool with it. I guess he likes Bombay, but I thought that was just thinking about that a little bit more. That scene, that part of the scene is truly insane.
Yeah. To be, in my memory, it was like a much like heavier kiss, but it was actually like a little smaller kiss. But yeah, for that to be like the first time it actually happened was bad. And then Josh Jackson's face acting there, I don't know if it was good or bad. He just like opens his mouth and looks around like pretending to be shocked. So I did notice that in the hooting and the hollering there. I did want to go back to the handshakes. So there's a little bit of, I think Key and Peele had a sketch on this about like Obama when he would shake a black dude's hand. It was like, mm-hmm. he was like, you know, go with the dap. And then like, he'd have a very formal handshake with the white dude. And it's very similar here. He does like a whole little handshake with Jesse. And then he shakes Banks's hand like straight. And then Goldberg has like the weird handshake fist bump. But then like Fulton and Averman get the animated handshake here as well. So I don't know if Bombay is just, you know, playing to who he's doing, or that was a strategy, or that's just, he was just feeling it. But I did appreciate, you know, Bombay, I guess, switching it up for each kid.
So do you think Bombay, you know how you sometimes see like videos on TikTok or whatever about like a teacher who has like a secret handshake with like every kid in her class, that kind of thing. Mm. And so do you think that's like, that was the secret to Bombay's success, is like he has like, he can really read the kid and knows how they want to go in for a handshake. It's like when you hit a single in Little League, you go up and you know, you give the first base coach a fist bump, mm-hmm. but maybe some kids are different and they want to do it differently. So maybe that's really the secret.
That's a good point. He's connected with these kids on an individual
and
level.
Really, you know, we're talking about filmmaking on this podcast. It really shows the extra levels of detail to show that Bombay has connected with all these children to show that he knows them. And then not a lot of people would recognize this, is that the you know, how the different handshakes with each different kid, and that just goes to the ability of the filmmakers here. That's my snooty film critic, you know.
I do want to give a quick shout out to Tommy and I's college colleague Adam Coleman, who had this very similar scenario happen to him on graduation day by the chancellor of our university. So that kind of caught him off guard. So shout out to Adam Coleman.
Wait, so what happened? The chancellor tried to do a crazy handshake with him?
Chancellor, you know, gave everybody else a handshake, but then when he walked up, he dapped him up.
See, is that like being, you know, a very square white guy? Like, is that appreciated? Or is that like a, hey, what? Why am I different?
If I recall correctly, he was like, what the hell, man?
Yeah.
Do you guys ever have anxiety when you're like seeing someone and they're not like, an acquaintance, just like, hey, like, is this like a handshake? Is this kind of like a handshake into a hug? Is this a straight up hug? You know, because I remember being anxious about that in my younger days.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still anxious about it. And our friend who's been on, I think, the pod before, especially John Arnold, we never have a good handshake. It's always an awkward, like, somebody's doing a handshake, someone's going for the handshake hug. Like, I can never get it right. So I think part of it is just I've lost the confidence there. I think you just go in strong and make the other person react to you, but that never happens for me. So yeah, I'm still nervous about it. I don't know how I would have handled this if I was in Bombay's situation.
That's why I just kiss people on the mouth now to say hello.
It's very disconcerting.
Strong. Let's see. Tommy, you mentioned the clothes. Yeah, Charlie with the rare double flannel and then t-shirt combo. He's got like a colored flannel and then he's got a green flannel over that flannel. And then he's got the white t-shirt underneath. Casey Conway. Like, it's this group of ragtag kids, and then Casey's in like a nice coat and this nice hat, like looking like a fancy lady from like a different time period. How did you feel about her getup? Was it out of place, or were you okay with it?
No, I mean, she's an adult. The other one, they're kids. Like, of course they're gonna look like sloppy and stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she's like an actual professional adult.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Anything else on this scene before we go to MVPs?
No. I like the Ducks bag though that Bombay has. That's nice.
Yeah. Well, I guess there's one last line. So again, benefit of closed captioning. I would recommend closed captioning, especially if you're doing Mighty Ducks Minute Studies. So Bombay kisses Casey Conway, and then he gets on the bus. He talks about going to the minors. He gets on the bus. And then Averman says, Banks is first in line next. Does he mean for the minors, or does he mean for Charlie's mom?
Wait, say that again?
So Bombay has kissed Casey Conway. He's talking about, oh, I'm going to, you know, the minors, playing against kids half my age. And then he like gives Casey a hug, or they say goodbye, whatever. Casey says, you know, just one step at a time, Gordon. And then as Gordon is leaving, right near the end of the minute, Averman says, Banks is first in line next. Did he mean the minors, or did he mean with Charlie's mom?
Probably both, honestly.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he meant the minors, but I like to think he meant Charlie's mom.
Yeah, okay. Because I initially took it as Charlie's mom first, and I was like, that can't be right. And I was like, oh, he's just talking about the minors. Okay, so let's move on now to MVPs. I mean, you had a lot of options here. There's a lot of people in this scene. I don't know where I want to go with it. I think Bombay is the safe pick here, but I'm interested to hear what you think, Kevin.
Man, this is a tough one. Was it Fulton that said strength, not concentration?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Fulton. Because that's just a funny callback line. So I'm gonna go with Fulton.
Yeah. Was that? Do you think that was intentional? Right, that he like messed up the concentration.
Of course, because he's the goon.
Yeah. Okay. Bombay didn't like really react to it. He just said right or yeah or whatever.
Was it like an over the shoulder shot? Like he probably wasn't reacting to that, like that actual line.
Oh, great point. Great point. All right. Fulton. I can get behind Fulton. Tommy, your thoughts.
I think I need to give it to Bombay. I mean, just for the handshake line alone. Yeah. But I do appreciate Fulton. I'm giving it to Bombay.
Yeah. I think I think Bombay is a safe point. I thought about Bombay's hair, maybe the costume designer. Like,
oh, I'm changing it. Costume designer. Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
I thought Tommy was going to go with the costume designer. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I like the costume designer as well. Just, you know, the final send off, the Ducks bag was a nice touch. So I don't know if that's proper costume, but hey, we'll give it to whoever that was. I'll put his or her name in the show notes.
You go with the set designer who's like, we're just going to do this at a Greyhound station.
Yeah, there's a great, I accidentally got the minute wrong. So I also watched the minute after very closely. And there's a great like product placement for Greyhound. There's like 3 seconds of just focused on the Greyhound logo in the next minute. So yeah, for the set designer, yeah, not doing it on a soundstage or anything. They were just at a Greyhound station in the cold. Appreciate it. But costume designer, that's the MVP.
As I mentioned, Kevin has a heart out, so I don't want to get too deep into a quiet question before we have to say goodbye to him. So I'll just wrap it up here. Thank you to everyone who listened. You know where to find us, thequacktech.com. Go there, contact us at quacktechpod on Twitter, facebook.com/quacktechpod. Go to iTunes, Spotify, wherever. Give us 5 stars, write a review. It allegedly helps us move up the charts and whatnot. Instagram, that's our newest social media platform. It's growing fairly quickly. It's been fun. I enjoy the Instagram. And thanks to all our producers. Aaron, I think, will be the most recent producer. His bank told him that our donation was a suspicious transaction. So I don't know what happened. We are a suspicious transaction now. So I'm going to have to call the bank up myself, I guess. I don't know what's happened, but I think we'll get that figured out. So that call to Aaron for him. Trying to figure it out. He was reaching out to me, like, trying hard. So I appreciate that, Aaron. And remember, ducks fly together.
Ducks fly together.
Quack, quack. Ain't no turning back. Start to be the man is up.
The quack attack.